Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the Retro Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Tiff. Welcome to Retro Next podcast.
Hello, Laura. I'm so happy to be back. It's nice to see your face. I know that other people can't see your face, but I can see your face, and it's so great to see you.
I'm so excited to chat with you. Because it's been like almost 2 years since we and so much has happened, which we caught up before the show. But in the past 2 years, we have experienced a pandemic.
We're all giggling. It's true.
Multiple episodes. You release a podcast and multiple books. So yeah. Catch us up what you've been up to since 2020. Yeah. Started.
Oh my gosh. You know, last time we talked, it was with Once Upon a Sunset.
Yep.
And then in 2021, this year was kind of knocked everything out of the park. It just so happened that with publication schedules, you know, signing of contracts and how schedules lay out, is that I came out with 3 books this year, and in all different categories and genres. So in April, I came out with In a Book Left Far Away, which was with Gallery Books. And that is a contemporary fiction. So it's a friendship story. And then in August 10, I came out with Contemporary Romance with Montlake Romance, which is Amazon Publishing. And it's called It Takes Heart. And it's the first book in a 3-book series. Mm-hmm. And then in October last month, I came out with The Holiday Switch, which was a YA novel. And it is a holiday book. So it's all totally different, and they all gave me so much joy to write, because parts, if not all of those books, was written during or at the beginning of the pandemic. So I was still editing In a Book Left Far Away during the pandemic. So I really just threw myself into these books, and, you know, it's kind of neat to come out with 3 very, very different books in 1 year, like, yeah, so it's been a strange year, but a good year in terms of publication.
It's a good year for publication for Tiff Marcella fans. I love that you went back to your romance roots, because I love your early romance novels. They're so good. I was like, oh my god, she's coming back with romance. Because yes. I do like contemporary fiction, but the romance is like, that's like my first love. So.
Well, I feel like too, like when I was writing each book, they kind of stretched me in different ways. Mm-hmm. So I had been writing contemporary fiction for 3 years with the 3 books. Mm-hmm. And then when I wrote romance, it like opened up, I felt like a blossoming flower, but you know, one bloom. And then when I switched around and I wrote YA, it opened up another bloom. It was like, oh my gosh. It really gave me a lot of joy to be able to write it. And you know, with the YA, when I was first writing and first querying, I wanted to be a YA author first. So mm-hmm. when I would queried my first 3 books, they were all YA, but I just didn't get an agent for YA. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's such, I don't know, it's such a gift to be able to write YA now. Mm-hmm. And it, plus it's a holiday book. So it's like double awesome, in terms of my wish list in my heart, you know, and what to write.
I love this, like, you know, the holiday switch is like, I was telling you, it was like a Hallmark movie meets like cute YA holiday. It's just like, it has all the goodness that you wanted a Christmas book, but it has a diversity that we come to expect from your books. And at the same time, it features like, you know, struggles for young adults, like 18-year-olds, like graduating high school, who's like, I have to figure out how I'm going to pay for college, you know? Yeah. And so it brings a whole set of like, you know, issues that I normally see in YAs, but I don't think I see them that often in YA. Yeah.
Well, thank you. You know, just writing Lila and Teddy was so much fun. And then the setting, you know, the almost like a holiday town, mm-hmm. which is Holly, New York. It's a fictional town. It was so much fun to play with. I do love the area, the Finger Lakes area. I love the Adirondacks too. I just love upstate New York in general. So to be able to set a book up there where it snows like all the time, mm-hmm. It's kind of a neat thing to be able to play with that and the holidays at the same time. But yeah, it's fun.
I love it. And did you come up with a list of holiday actions to check that bucket list? Like, what was it like randomly, you know, how did you come up with that list?
I know, that was so much fun. I think, you know, cause we travel a lot in our RV, you know, we're an RV family. And so whenever we go to a new place, we always look things up, you know, like on Yelp, like top places to eat or like top places to go. Cause we want to bring the kids to, you know, to the highlights. And so I thought, why not? Of course, Holly would have a list, right? So, and the thing is, you know, the senior year is really such a special year before you go off to school, before you graduate. I have two kids now in college, and then I have a junior in high school. And I feel like that senior year is so special. And especially with COVID, you know, we saw like my son graduated in 2020. Wait, 21. But you know, so much of his life had been in COVID. And that senior year is such a special year because it's the last time that the friends are going to be together, really, you know, before they kind of go off in separate directions. And so I thought, why not have Lila and her friends do something a little bit more special their last winter before they leave school?
I think it was a perfect winter escape, like to think about you're escaping to a cute holiday town, same time you're like doing things outside, doing the fun stuff, which is like for the past year and a half, we have not been doing that. So it's like a new, nice little escape of like, oh, that could be fun, or ideas to think of like ice skating, you know, outdoor stuff that you're like, oh, I can actually do this now. You know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. And yeah. And that's the thing. You're like, oh, I don't mind doing it because now we can go. And, you know, and I was thinking of Holly as like a reverse beach town. You know, like we go to the beach in our RV, and oftentimes I think about the locals that are there that like have to deal with tourists from like May until September, right? Beach towns is so basically their sweet spot is in the middle of the year. Now I was thinking, how about it be in reverse? So in this holiday town, it is all this fall, winter, spring months. And how like all of these tourists will come, and why not make an ornament with Mrs. Claus and charge $50 an ornament? Because you know that happens. I mean, how many we've rolled through a lot of beach towns, and we do all the little things that they want, that they hope that tourists will do, like we'll get on their boat and pay $1 million to get boated around, you know. So you know, so it was a fun thing to recreate.
That's a fun thing to do. Let's chat about your podcast. Tell us a little bit, because this is an exciting project that you have created, and you have created like nice little community and fun things there.
Yeah. We are starting our second season mid-November. I just really fell in love with it last year. I started it after I started attending podcasts like yours and others, where I was like, wow, I'm talking to people. And I'm very much a fangirl, and I love to read, and I want to talk to the other authors. I feel like other authors like inspire me anyway. So I said, why don't I start a podcast? And I ended up doing 28 episodes in less than a year. So for me, that's really great because I was learning at the same time. Mm-hmm. But we're starting our second season. I say me.
We sound
more professional.
Yeah.
We're professional people. Yeah, me. So it's a one woman show. So I'm starting the second season and this month, and I'm really excited because I started doing interviews once more in conversations, and they've just been so fun. And what I've been doing is I've been reading books, and I've been falling in love with books, and you end up, I'm sure you feel the same way too. It's like, I just want to talk to them about like how they get it done. And I always come away feeling like, okay, you know, this is such a great industry and with such talented people. And I learned so much from folks. So Yeah, I'm excited for the second season.
I love it. And you're like, I've seen your name pop up in acknowledgement pages. So you have like a nice little writing community or writing buddies that you have been able to support. How important is having that community? Because writing can be solitude, you know, writing first draft is not fun, you know? Yeah. And so how important is having that community just to help you keep moving forward?
Yeah, it really is. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for other people around me. Mm-hmm. Even in the daily writing, you know, I have folks that I check in with every day that, help me out and encourage me. So from that level to big, to the macro level, which is like just folks buying my books, I just feel like, you know, I feel pretty lucky. And I wouldn't be here without other folks. And I'm very aware of that. So it's neat. I love this podcast too. And maybe selfishly is because it's a reason for me to talk to folks that probably wouldn't speak to me anyway. And you know what I mean? Like, I can't just come up to so-and-so and be like, hey, what's up? You know, like the podcast is a great way to be able to speak to my heroes also. Mm-hmm. So
I think the podcast for me has been about making friends. Like, it's like, yeah. I'm here to connect with people. Like, you know, it keeps me company. It's like an opportunity to be like, hey, I think you're cool. Maybe can we chat? I'll record it. We'll chat about books because I like chatting about books, but I just want to get to know you as a person. And like,
Well, it humanizes authors. I think which I think is really neat. And especially with this pandemic, you know, we have learned the importance of just people and, you know, and the value of individuals, you know, so I think I just think that it's a passion project and hopefully I'll continue. I always have to caveat, like, I hope I continue, you know, because as with everything, it's like, we have to also honor whatever's going on around us. So, what I do know is that I have quite a few interviews already done. So those are going to go to press.
So any upcoming interviews that we should be looking forward to? Any people that are like, hey.
Lily Chu, who wrote The Stand-In.
Really? Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I love her book.
Did you? Okay. So that was probably one of the best audio produced books I have listened to, but of course it's Philippa Sue that did the audio. So, I mean, come on, that's very hard to top. But it's just, I was able to speak to her and I was like, man, I cannot wait to read more books from her. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about that. Speaking of audio, I'm listening to Will by Will Smith.
Ooh, how is it?
It's really good.
Ooh, I may just pick it up. I have a thing for celebrity memoirs. Yeah, it's just like, that's like my guilt.
It's juicy.
I just want to know. Did you read by any chance Tiffany Haddish, Last Black Unicorn? Yes.
Uh-huh. I read that. I didn't listen, but I read it. It's so good.
Her Will Smith cameo. It always, you know, when Jada finds out Groupon. I have to tell you, every time I think about Will Smith, I'm like, he just learned Groupon through Tiffany Haddish in a swamp.
The Swamp Thing. Yes. The tour.
You're like, what is it?
It was so good. And then I also, did you listen to Jessica Simpson's?
Yes.
Oh, that was so good. And then like Demi Moore.
I did not listen to Demi Moore.
Yeah. A little bit heartbreaking, but at the same time, really eye-opening. But the Jessica Simpson one was amazing. Right.
Yeah.
And I feel I've told folks that I feel very like protective over Jessica Simpson because I feel like, you know, I think it's because she was one of the first that I saw on television as, you know, with her, whatever it's called, the show.
Really
yeah.
Yeah. So I feel very protective. I felt like I was like, she was like my BFF. Like you know, this is a moment in time. We're celebrating, like, I think last Friday we had Taylor saying Red. You know, the Jake Gyllenhaal, then we got Brittany got freed, and then Jessica owned her brand. She posted She bought her brand. And I was like, celebrating.
This is amazing.
This is amazing. Like, Jessica owns her name. I can't, you know? Like,
it really does show, though, the whole idea of ownership of your work. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a little bit of parallel with publishing, you know, who owns the work, who owns the rights, whose work is this, you know, it's really kind of sticky, right? And we saw, I mean, so I finally watched Taylor's All Too Well. Yeah, All Too Well today. I got on YouTube, prepared myself, and I think I couldn't do anything for like an hour.
I'm like not a Swiftie, but I'm like, I was like caught up with just All Too Well, listening to it for like 10 minutes over and over and over, like 10 minute increments, just a 10 minute version, you know? Because
the writing is so good. I think anybody that like appreciates writing, and you do because you're a reader, right? Yeah. And just the writing alone is like, wow, that she's really succinct, but really powerful. And that's painful words.
It's painful. I don't want to be Jake Gyllenhaal right now.
Sad because he was one of my favorites, and I'm like, I had no idea that any of this was happening. Yeah. Where was I? Yeah. I don't know.
But it's a good moment in time, I have to tell.
It is. So yeah, and then you know, Britney's free. Like we saw a picture today of her driving in her car and by herself.
Yeah.
All this stuff. Wow.
All this stuff.
Hopefully this means that the tide is turning with the pandemic. Maybe this is all three times a charm, right? They say things happen in threes.
I hope that the tide, you know, we're probably triple backs by this time, you know, like coming to 2022, triple backs, triple done. Like you just clear out the juju. We're like, okay, 2022 is in brand new year. We're going to have like new stuff. We're going to get out.
We're going to go somewhere.
We're gonna go somewhere. We're gonna travel again.
Exactly.
Things. And yes, we'll be masked, but it's okay.
It's okay. No, I'm totally fine with that. Let's go.
I'm like, I don't want to get sick. The fact that I did not get sick in the past year and a half, it's amazing. I'm like, I'm wearing my mask. Like, it's fine.
Oh my gosh.
So what can we expect from you in 2022? Speaking of that.
Yeah. So in April of 2022, I have book two of Heart Resort coming out. Mm-hmm. ARCs just came to me. So I'm going to do a little TikTok and then give away some. And then the fall of 2022, we have the third book in the Heart Resort series. And then in 2023, I have a special project coming out. It was just announced the other day. It's a reimagining of Little Women, but from Marmee's point of view. So from the mom's point of view, so it's modern Little Women, but from Marmee's point of view. So that is really special to me. I'm kind of working on book three and Marmee at the same time. And I'm really happy that they're completely different from one another. So I can make the switch, you know, like midday to work on it. And I have been working on this Little Women book since 2020. What year are we in? Yes, since 2020. So it's been over a year that I've been working on this project, either reading on it and just getting into the feel of Little Women. I mean, I love Little Women. Mm-hmm. But to come at it from, you know, we've always seen the story of the girls, you know, Jo, Meg, Beth, Amy. So to kind of reimagine it from Marmee's point of view is a little bit different. You know, I have to dig deep into my mom's soul, you know, to.
Hey, I was like, mom's soul is going to be like thinking about the girls, like thinking
girls.
About
girls.
Yeah.
And loss. Right. And things like that. So it is, it's going to be, I don't want to say it's going to be serious because I don't write mega serious. I always have a little bit of lightness in my stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's truly not romance based, mm-hmm. but I'm hoping that after this third book in Heart Resort, that there's going to be more romances down the line. I hope so. Because I love it too. Oh my gosh.
We do need more writing from you.
I hope so.
I love this. So let's try some book recommendations because you've been reading. So let's try what kind of books had sparked joy or which books our audience to pick up.
Yeah. So I have like, besides the stand-in, I wrote down the stand-in for sure, because that is so funny. Mm-hmm. And Lily Chu, the author, is like, really, her prose is so good. Mm-hmm. And it's very succinct, you know what I mean? And so I think that's coming out in paper, actually, through Sourcebooks. Yep. So I was like, wow, that's, I'll be buying it in paper also, besides audio. The After Party by A.C. Arthur. So A.C. Arthur is, this is her first book with Montlake, but she writes with a pen name Lacey Baker, and she writes Hallmark. So Lacey Baker is a Hallmark author. A.C. Arthur is more like sultry romance. And this is a mystery. It's a story about three women who work in the same company that hate their boss because their boss is awful, but then he turns up dead. And so
now, like,
everybody suspects, you know, people are suspecting the three women. So it is so good. It's like the last book I read of AC was a Lacey Baker book. So in my mind, right, I have her Lacey Baker Hallmark prose. And then I opened up this book, The After Party, and I was like, what is this? This is so good. So that is something definitely you should pick up. That came out last week. And then Sarah Echevarri, who is also Sarah Smith, she came out with Three More Months. And that is a women's fiction, and it is a tearjerker, and it has a little bit of a magical component where a woman finds that she has three more months. Her mother had passed away, and then she wakes up finding out that she has more time with her mom. Mm. So I even tweeted about it, like page 26, I was already in tears. So it's one of these things where you have to be prepared to cry, but then there is it's a hopeful ending. So it's a really great book. And of course, Will Smith in my ear is just like my childhood. And he's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So. Oh my gosh. These are so great. Some great recommendations. I love this.
Yeah.
I have to pick up the After Party. You just had me at the mystery.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
This could be
so good.
So yeah. And I love Sarah. Like, you know, Sarah's a friend of the podcast. I love her writing and I'm excited. Although I have to prepare for tearjerkers. Like I'm not.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. Like I did not open it right away. Like I got it in the mail. She sent it. I was lucky enough to get an early copy. And then, but I knew what the premise was and I had to prepare myself for it. It's just one of those things. But once you start reading, it goes fast and you're crying, you know, but it goes quickly, but you just have to prepare.
Got to prepare yourself.
Yeah.
I think there's like there's a big trend about books that deals with grief over the past year or so. I feel like, and there's like a niche market that loves it. I have friends like who basically share, we're like, this book deals with our grief. We were like,
yes. Are you ready to cry? Yes, I'm ready to cry. Sometimes you need like the caveat, you know, like the person to usher the book to usher you into tears. That's
yeah. I'm like, yes, we can read this.
Yeah.
I love this. So Tiff, tell us where I can find you online.
Yeah. So the jumping off point is always my website. It's tiffmarcello.com. But if you were to pick a social media, then Instagram is probably the best. And so it is also at Tiff Marcello.
Awesome. Thank you, Tiff, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so great.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for romance audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libre FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. please visit prolig.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.